Hey everybody, welcome to the Touchline Podcast. I'm Rich. We're joined here with Brett as always. And you've joined us for episode 19, the Luke Mulholland episode, or the Enzo Martinez, Pablo Campos, Blake Wagner Memorial episode. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about the game which was against NYCFC. We'll talk a little bit about the games coming up against the Galaxy in Vancouver. Hopefully some of you will listen to this before the LA Galaxy game, but some of you may listen to it afterwards. We'll touch on the Whitecaps as well, and whatever else tickles our fancy. Maybe some Champions League, maybe some Monarchs. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know, birds and the bees. I don't know.
Let's do it.
All right. So, game against NYCFC on Saturday. It was a great game. First off, I want to give a shout out to the weather for being awesome for a couple hours this week. Since it stopped raining and gave us a beautiful evening to be out in Rio Tinto Stadium. It was amazing. I know you weren't there to enjoy it, but it was amazing.
I was in the comforts of my home where it was raining here.
I was worried. I took my poncho. I was feeling terrible, but I couldn't miss the game. So I was like, if it starts raining, I'm going to have to bail because I feel like crap. But luckily, it was a beautiful evening, so it worked out. But anyway, so unfortunately, Ned Grabovoi was out injured. I was really bummed about that. He didn't even make the bench, so we didn't get to see him play. But Wingert was out there. Velasquez came on as a sub. Mehdi Bellucci was out there. Trying to think. Oh, Josh Saunders. A lot of ties on the field. But honestly, except for Wingert, I guess I didn't really notice. You know, I wasn't ever like, oh, you know, like they used to be, you know, for playing for RSL. And maybe because Wingert played for so long. But every time he got the ball, I was like, oh, hey, Wingert.
Yeah.
I thought that New York started out the game really well. First 15, 20 minutes or so, I was a little bit worried because I don't know if RSL came out a little bit flat or New York just came out with some energy, but I thought New York started out pretty bright and then they faded very quickly like a shooting star. Mm-hmm. And their team is not very good.
Yeah.
What was your kind of takeaway from that?
A lot of the same. I mean, for that first, I'd say it was only about 10, 15 minutes at most. They were looking good. When they started using Mix and mainly Mix because everybody was jumping on top of Vila and not letting him really do anything. When they used Mix, Mix was actually looking really good, but Mix had this knack of just taking himself out of the game. So it's one of those that early on, New York kind of just let themselves play out of the entire situation.
Yeah, I was really pleased with how, you know, RSL played. I thought Sturzer came in. I was kind of unsure of, you know, what he was going to do. I mean, this is the first time we'd really seen him get extended minutes this season. And mm-hmm. I thought he played really well. I thought, you know, he was in the right spots most of the time. I thought kind of the most fun thing of the game to me was Sabo, who kept being playmaker and flaring out and crossing in balls or dropping in, and he kind of a lot of times let Sandoval be the guy up top, and I thought the two of them played really well again together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Sabo, we kind of known Sabo as being a finisher, but you saw him play a different role. He was trying to be the setup man, and there's a few times if Sandoval would have just, I'm going to put luck, because a lot of those I don't think he could have controlled, like that handball at the top of the 18 and Salvo decided just to try to run it through a goalkeeper and come back to Sandoval and it was still doing like 80 miles an hour. If you're lucky, you can put a foot on that, but I mean, it was weird seeing Salvo kind of take on that Javier role.
Yeah, that free kick real quick, man. I think he was trying to set a new high score on the radar gun because
Yeah.
he crushed that thing, man. He hit that so hard. If it would have been anywhere else except for right at Saunders.
It's kind of like watching Kari Stevenson do that. I used to love watching Kari take bombs from like midfield and make it look like it was a free kick from outside the 18.
I'm
So.
just glad it was on frame because if that would have went high, he probably would have killed a fan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
But
somebody's gonna eat it.
that's where I was sitting. So I'm glad
Oh.
he kept that. I wouldn't have touched. I would have ducked. A point of note just for fans out there: if you sit behind the goal and the ball's coming at you and you aren't going to catch it, and you're just going to get fingertips on it, don't. What always happens is someone reaches up, gets their fingertips on a ball as it's coming, and the person who's going to catch it gets deflected and then hits him in the face. That almost happened to me last game during warm-ups. And so don't do that. Don't be that guy who tips the ball and hits somebody in the face. Anyway, yeah, so Sabo's free kick was good. Like say, he played playmaker a lot of the game.
You know who
Sandoval
also
was.
played kind of, yeah, Sandoval. That like little flick to set up Sturcher was awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. He flicked that on, and right when he hit it, I was like, where's he? Where's he hitting that to? No, there's a big empty space there. No one's there. And then I saw Sturzer run into it. I didn't see him over there. He's probably getting blocked by the crossbar or something in my view, but it was awesome for him to do that kind of blindly.
Yeah. And I know Brian Dunstan talked about it a lot after that goal about how Sandoval did everything right. He put it in a spot where he knew it was going to be the defender, and all Sturridge tried to do is make one simple touch and then take a shot, and it would have been a goal. And bravo on Sturridge, man. He did work. He
Yeah, I
looked good
was.
for the like what 60, 70 minutes he was in there.
Yeah, I was pleased, and seemed like he kept his energy up pretty much the whole time. So it was good. Both Sandoval and Mulholland, they made a lot of really good runs into the box, trying to get on crosses from Sabo. I think Sabo's crossing ability, we don't really ever see it, but it's really underrated. I think he can hit in some good crosses. He just never gets to because he's always on the other side. But it's kind of interesting to see Sabo likes to put in like early balls, you know what I mean? Like he
Yeah.
gets them up kind of right at the top of the box and he just sends it in. I kind of wonder if that's me a message he's trying to send to his teammates of just put it in the box. Because that's what they did on the second goal. Mulholland did that and goal for Sabo.
Yeah, I'm glad that Sabo was rewarded like that. But I think the big story, I mean, we had all these former players returning. I think the huge story, and I mean, you could probably talk more about it because you were actually there and knew what the crowd was doing, but Javi comes back and Plata comes back.
Yeah, that was the crowd was pretty loud and they're obviously excited for Javi to come back in. But the excitement, when everybody got when they saw Plata starting jogging over to put his jersey on was significantly higher. And I think the only kind of downside to that was everyone started getting excited and looked at the clock and saw that it was like the 89th minute and was like, oh, we're only going to see him for injury time or stoppage time. But no, it's super great to see them both back on the field. Javi, I guess, is telling everybody that he feels 100% again, which is great that he's over that concussion.
You know, one thing I think it's missing from this team. I've been saying it. You gotta wait until Plata's back and everybody's healthy to finally judge Jeff and the way he's doing things, especially in that 4-3-3. But that back line of New York, I mean, they were a mess all game to begin with. But as soon as Plata got in there and started running around, and he doesn't play that like typical, this is my half of the field kind of role. He's kind of that I'm going to go wherever I want kind of role. that back line had no answers for him. He was just running around acting like he owned that back line.
I think that Plata's runs are really, really smart, and he finds those spaces between the fullbacks and the center backs really well. So I'm excited for him to get healthy again. I hope people don't get their expectations set too high. I mean, we saw Sabo when he came back last year from his foot. It took a while for him to kind of get back into it. And I think it'll take a little while for Plata's fitness, especially for
Well,
him to
Javi kind
be
of, Javi,
90.
I mean, not Javi. Sabo shot himself in the foot because he got on the field, scored within 30 seconds, and then he sat down a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, Plaza's going to have a lot of opportunities to get fitness because we got a lot of games, but I think it'll be a while before he starts going 90.
And probably, I mean, looking ahead at the schedule, if you want him to go a full 90, it's not going to be against Vancouver. I mean, not on that turf. My guess is the first time you see him go a full 90 will be June 7th when they play Colorado.
Yeah, I still even think. I bet you he starts the Colorado game. I bet you the next two games he comes off the bench still. But the Colorado game, I bet you he plays, 60 minutes or so. But he would start, like you
And
say.
you'll probably also see Jeff go back to that 4-3-3, probably around that Colorado game.
Maybe. I mean, the formation they've been doing has been working so well. I guess if Jaime gets fit too, he'll probably have to go with something like that because he'll have so many forwards he needs to play. I hope that Jaime, I guess he's been doing full training, so hopefully he's back in the 18 soon too.
Yeah, but at halftime they said two things, and I kind of want to get your opinion on them. The first one that they talked about at halftime was they had RSL's owner in the press box, and he said, and I'm trying to find the exact stat, but it was something crazy, like 46% of their salary cap is not on the field. And that was at halftime. And so that's a lot of money to be 43% to just be sitting on the bench or not even be in the game.
Yeah, do you remember the Twitter fight I got into with Kurt Larson
Yes.
a couple weeks ago about the end of RSL, and he was giving me a bad time about like, oh, I didn't know RSL was missing three designated players, and I was like, he's such a troll, because we were pretty, I mean, they may not have all technically been DPs because of allocation money or whatever, but if you're missing Javi, Plata, Jaime, Schuler, that's like missing three DPs, I would say.
Yeah, and even Schuler, probably to the right team, he's a DP.
Yeah, I have a hard time with DP center backs myself, but I mean, I'd take him over Omar Gonzalez probably. So,
Let's put it this way. In New York, he would be a DP.
they need the help, that's for sure.
Yeah. And then the other thing they talked about, remember a man named Jura?
Yeah, well, Sisian, he was awesome. He's tearing it up.
Potentially, his agent's been coming out saying that he wants to return to the MLS, and RSL is the one that holds his contract rights.
I would be, if he came back to RSL, I would not be shocked if he came back to MLS, maybe to either New York or the LAFC team, or maybe even Atlanta, maybe as kind of a marquee player. I just can't see him coming back to RSL and getting the crazy money that, he's used to. And I mean, I haven't watched him a lot. I know he's played well over in the Russian league, but I mean, I haven't watched him enough to really to know if he's worth that kind of money,
He's worth it.
I mean, I know he's really good, but is he worth like Giovinco level money? I don't know.
We'll put it this way. He's playing for Spartaka Moscow. He's made 51 appearances, has 22 goals.
Yeah.
Previous teams, 50 appearances, 23 goals, 30 appearances, 12 goals.
But Sabo has that kind of production.
Yeah. My huge issue is, would I take Jura? Yeah, I'd take Jura. But if you take Jura, even if we're running the 4-3-3, who sits?
Right.
You sit a Jaime, you just spent a bunch of money to get Jaime here. So do you sit Jaime? You know you don't sit Plata because he's kind of that missing piece up top. Or is this the end of the road of Sabo, which I don't think it is.
Yeah, I just don't know that there's a spot on the team, number one and number two. I don't think we want to pay him that kind of money. And if another team wants him, I don't know. I think we'll get something for him, but I don't think it'll be a ton. I mean,
Yeah.
50, 100 grand or something of allocation money, it's not gonna be a huge sum.
Maybe
Maybe
another
custom draft
international
picks.
offer or something.
Yeah. But no, I think it'd be great if he came back. I
I
did
mean,
hear that the coach that's his team hired has something against Armenians or something like that, and so that like spelled the end of the road for him.
yeah. Well, and I know back in 2013, Sabo only signed a deal through 2015. So unless he's signed another one, this could be Sabo's last year. I mean, my guess is he probably signs a new one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because MLS is kind of weird where they just don't put out the whole "This is how long people have signed for." It's just he's a DP. He signed a contract.
Yeah, it's so hard to find contract lengths and terms and all that stuff. It's impossible unless you catch it right when it gets released. Like sometimes they'll do a press release.
Yeah, so
What?
that's the only way I see it is if Jura does come back, you're probably looking at a Saborio, or I can't even say Plata leaving.
Unless like a bigger, some bigger European team comes and buys them or something.
Yeah, and you know, Sabo's, I mean, he's 33, something like that, 34. Maybe he wants to go back to Costa Rica and just play out his last few years there. Never know with Sabo.
You don't. He doesn't talk much to the press, so it's hard to know. I wish he would, or I wish I could just sit down and talk with him because from everything I hear, he's a super cool guy, super chill, all that. Somebody I'd really like to get to know, but he's just not someone who likes to be in the media. So that's kind of too bad. Because I think if he did even a little bit, that would help fans' perceptions a lot. Because I think people have a harder time getting on you if they know you. And if they understand you a little bit. So, I don't know. I really like Sabo. I wish you could get to know him a little better. Sit down
Yes,
for a pint of water or
I'll come to the podcast.
something. That's right. I'll even talk to you in no Spanish that I don't know.
I can say hola, that's about it, buddy.
Yeah. I'll get my brother-in-law to know Spanish.
Yes, we'll bring somebody on. We'll make it a fair man.
Yeah. I bet you Sabo's English is pretty good too.
I mean, he's been here for a while. He's probably picked up a term or two.
So, the New York game was really chill. I thought it was pretty relaxing. I didn't really feel stressed at all during the game. New York didn't really have any chances after the beginning of the game. Was nice to see it at the end, Winger switched jerseys with Beckerman and walked around the field, so that was cool. But yeah, other than that, I mean,
Bravo to like the fans for actually like not booing them.
Yeah, it wasn't even booing. There was actually like when so Winger got subbed out and Velasquez came on and different things like that, you know, the fans cheered for him and stuff. So that was fun. But yeah, good on him. And also good on him for kind of ignoring it. I mean, there wasn't like a huge, like, we love you, Jason Christ, TIFO or anything.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised that there wasn't anything. So.
I think the only thing I saw was a sign that said, and I'm paraphrasing, it was somewhere along the lines of, next time you turn your back, can we keep your number? Or something like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one. Huh. Well, so this week we have two games. We have the Galaxy at the StubHub, and then we're going up to BC Place, playing Vancouver on new turf that they're replacing for the Women's World Cup, thankfully.
Thank you, Women's World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's going to be better, just saying it's there.
Yeah, it's new turf, so it can't be worse, I don't think.
Give them a chance.
So kind of a con about the Galaxy. Robbie Keane appears to be back, came on as a sub their last game, so we missed that opportunity to play them without him. They had been struggling a little bit with their offense. But, you know, it's always a good game playing down there. We always seem to play well, except for that last playoff game.
Yep. Always that one game.
What?
It's always that one game.
Yeah.
No, I mean, actually,
we have a good record down there at StubHub, so.
Yeah, and I was there when they were here, and RSL kind of, that's the best I've kind of watched them look and during that span of when they kind of were crapping out. It was that LA game, and it was a fun time. I think RSL's offense can get going against this team. They kind of showed it. I mean, they were called offsides 7 or 8 times over the course of the game. So, yeah.
I think
they can do. I think they can do offensively really well.
I did see something about how LA's fullbacks are trying to overcome some injury as well. So, you know, their back line may be kind of makeshift a little bit. I guess we'll see, you know, how much is actual injury and how much is just them pretending. But
yeah. And I found out that Arenas, he actually doesn't throw out his best 11 each time. He has like a rotating thing. So if you can figure out his rotations, you know who you're playing.
Hmm. Yeah, when people, I mean, when ever people are available, right?
Yeah, but
they have certainly missed the pairing of Sarvis and Juninho. You know, Husidic or whoever has been, they got, who's the new guy they got on allocation? Or not allocation.
That's new.
It was they got him on a discovery claim. They had to pay New England some money because New England snuck in and put in a discovery claim the same day. Oh, Sebastian Letget. How do you say that? Lettget.
We're in the wrong sport to be pronouncing names.
Letget? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he came in with some fanfare and supposed to be pretty good. He's American, but he's been playing over in Europe.
And you know, this is with Steven Gerrard's Liverpool career done. This might be one of the last few. I mean, he's got to wait until the transfer window on July 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime after July 8th, Gerrard's also going to be in the mix. So I think we're going to be thankful that we got him 2 out of the 3 times before Gerrard got there.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Gerrard works out, if he can be a 90-minute player for them. And, you know, he mentioned, you know, he's excited to come over here and play with less pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess we'll see if he. I'm sure it will be less pressure, but it might not be as less as he thought. You know what I mean? And it might just be different kind of pressure. And with all the travel and stuff, we'll have to see how he
How he
gets used to
loves it.
that. So I give RSL a pretty good chance tomorrow night. We'll hope for a draw, I guess, but we'll hope for a win, but maybe a draw. Then, since most of you will probably listen to this after that game has happened, so you'll know what the result is. Let's move on to Vancouver. Ever since we played them, and they've been flying high, they've kind of been hitting a rough patch a little bit. They've only won the one league game since they beat us in that
You're never
debacle of a refereeing game.
Yeah, you gotta love Uncle. I love Uncle.
Yeah, that was the game for all of you who don't want to remember and have blocked out of your mind that we ended up playing with 9 people after two of our players got sent off.
That's the game
And
that Bofo showed up and then tried to kill a guy 8 minutes later.
I wouldn't say he tried to kill a guy.
Okay, he tried to take out his legs.
It was a little bit harsh. I thought it was more yellow than red, but
Well,
whatever.
that's also on the ref. I mean, if you remember, he was letting everybody play physical, and then once Bofo did something, he got card crazy.
Yeah. So since we played them in April, they lost to DC United, they drew Portland, they beat Philly. And then they lost to Seattle. They lost to Colorado. Also in there, they won the Canadian Championship against FC Edmonton. So that put them into Champions League for this next go around. Kind of like how Montreal got in there. So
In there.
they got in there by winning the Canadian Championship. So we play up there on Saturday afternoon. Like I said, we're playing on new turf, so that'll be exciting. Everyone said that their turf is probably the crappiest in the league, like playing on concrete. So that's got to be exciting. Be curious to see if we give any of our guys like Sabo or Olave or even like Plata, who's coming back from injury, if we hold those guys out because of the turf and because it'll be the third game, in a week.
I'd bring in like the B group.
We did that, was it 2 years ago, I think? We took our B squad up there and just, I think we just thumped them 2-0
Thrashed
or
them.
something. Yeah, but it wasn't close. They weren't playing well at all. And that was more near the end of the year, like maybe an August game or something.
And you get the chance of seeing Lalo.
You think so?
Well, if that Atenella
Oh,
rolls
yeah.
his ankle,
Yeah, that's true.
Lalo, start Lalo.
Well, maybe. I guess if Schuler was fit, I would totally say, we're gonna sit Olave. Since Schuler still will be out, I mean, we could see a Vasquez Mond pairing again. That didn't go quite the best the last time we tried that, but we could try it again.
Well, the
I don't
last
know.
time we all, I mean, one of the first times we paired up Sabo and Devin, it looked like crap. Now they look like they're like best friends.
Yeah, made for each other.
They love each
So it's hard to say, what we'll do, where it being the third game in the week. And then probably the week after that, we'll probably have a midweek Open Cup game, won't we? When is
Soon. It is soon. It will be June 16th or 17th.
Oh, not till then? Oh.
And we will, Real Salt Lake will play the winners of, I just had it here in front of me, Portland Timbers 2 or Seattle Sounders 2. What is up with all the twos?
Yeah, everybody's a two except for us.
and Colorado because they're the switchbacks.
Well, that's not their team though, right? I don't think those switchbacks are really the Rapids lower team division, are they? I
I'll
thought they
look for
were just a USL team, just independent of Colorado, but maybe not.
them. They might be. Oh, yeah, it'd have to be that way because Real Monarchs play the Switchbacks, and the winner gets to play the Rapids, and the USL was designed that the only way that you'd ever run into your parent team is in the finals.
Did you see Bruce Arena had a comment how he thought it was disappointing that they do the Open Cup regionally? So, you're trying they pair try to pair you up with teams that are close to you. So, he was lamenting how, no, it wasn't Bruce, it was Siggy. Siggy Schmidt was saying, he was sad that you'd never have a Portland Seattle final because they always have to meet earlier because it's a regional thing. And he thought that you should just do an open draw, random draw always. So, you could be flying across country every single round. And I get the principle of what he's saying, but I think just because the US is so big, I don't know that it's practical.
Well, not only that, I mean, can a team like Harpo FC afford to go back to a New York and play there?
Right, especially like more than once.
Yeah. Actually, something I did see is there was a team, I want to say it was an NASL team, that they started a Kickstart because they qualified for the fourth round and don't have the money to travel to go play that team.
Yeah, it was I saw that. I don't know what group it was, like what, I mean, what league they play in. I thought it
Yeah.
was lower than NASL.
It might have been lower, but if you do it that way, are they teams gonna have the money to do this?
Don't think so. I mean, maybe once you got to like the fourth or fifth round where a lot of these lower teams are gone. So it's mostly, say, USL, NASL, MLS teams are in. Maybe, but I don't think you want to do it like from the start. Because that's not fair for all the amateur sides.
I agree. Totally
So
agree.
we're going to play Vancouver. We need to do some payback. They've got us the last few times, so I think the ref owes us some red cards and penalties and sketchy offside decisions.
Start with.
So also for everybody, just to be aware, on Monday, we will get the CONCACAF Champions League draw. We'll find out who we get to play this fall. So that will be really exciting. They finished figuring out pretty much who all the teams are. So get to find out who we get to play. Or, if you have the travel budget, where you get to fly to and watch RSL play. If you have a timeshare in Costa Rica or something.
I believe they do the draw there in Orlando, and we're supposed to send a league rep, I mean, like a rep from our team. So I'm hoping for something awesome.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear from Trey to see if maybe one of us can go.
We got you, Trey. Send us, buddy.
We'll be a team official. I'll bring a scarf.
By the way, I just looked it up. Jar Marufo will be our ref for the Vancouver game.
Yeah, we get Toledo for the LA game. Baldomero.
And he's not a bad ref. He was named the ref of the year in 2008.
Who, Toledo or Marufo?
Marufo.
Yeah.
He's reffed 174 games at the end of last year.
We certainly can't complain. These next two refs are inexperienced because they both reffed a ton of MLS games. So,
It's better than what we could have. We could have, Uncle again. He gets to look over DC and Philly, so.
yikes. I haven't really heard a lot of, I mean, because he's reffed a lot of games beside, since, and I haven't heard a lot of complaints about it. So, I don't know.
There's a lot of complaints.
Maybe I'm just not following the right hashtag on Twitter.
As of last year, he only refed 15 games.
Uncle?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a new ref and he needs games. I don't know if he's had another kind of debacle like the other one.
Yeah. But we got two decent refs.
Yeah. You got anything else for us tonight there, Brett?
Just one small thing that just came across Twitter, and we don't even have to go into it, just something. But apparently the Swiss law enforcement officials are charging FIFA officials with corruption and racketeering. So, yay FIFA.
In other news, water is wet, and
well, it's about time they did something.
Atoms are small.
Yep.
I'm only halfway through. I recorded that ESPN E60 that they did on Sepp Blatter.
Yeah.
Kind of, I'm only, I don't know, halfway through it. They've talked a lot about Sepp when he was a child. It's been kind of interesting so far, but maybe I'll do a book report when I'm done watching it. Report back.
Class. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Real Monarchs get to play this week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Tomorrow night, Open Cup, they're playing Switchbacks.
Yep. And Real actually tweeted it out, and I think it is a great promotion, if we want to call it a promotion. I just think it's awesome. But if you have a ticket stub from the Real New York game, they'll get you $2 off of your ticket to the Open Cup game. And when I last checked, it's the cheapest is like $11 a ticket. So Real Monarchs for $9. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's totally worth it. If you guys can make it out there to support them. Otherwise, I think it'll be streamed online if you want to catch that. The U20 tournament with Jordan Allen starting here in 96 hours.
Well, yeah, Saturday about 10 p.m. Salt Lake time. So Jordan Allen will play. He'll win man of the tournament. I'm calling it now.
So. Let's hope so. Yep. All right. Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Apologize again for the issues we had with our last episode. Google decided to have an aneurysm during our last show, and I guess they just barely fixed it.
Yeah, me and Google are best friends now.
So that one should be posting real soon, right?
Yeah, if not tonight, tomorrow.
All right. And if you guys listen to this one before you listen to that one where we interviewed Ian Joy, you guys gotta go listen to that. I know we already played New York, but we only talk about Newark for just a little bit. You guys got to listen to his interview. It is amazing. He did a great job. We really appreciate him being on the show.
Even if you're not a soccer fan, it's worth listening to.
Yeah. He's a great dude. If you guys have any suggestions on people you want us to try and get on the show, let us know. No promises, but we'll try.
Yeah.
Brett's pretty good at blackmailing people and whatnot. So
I've gotten a few guys.
And he'll offer potato chips and whatnot.
Potato chips, everybody loves.
Anyway, you can get at me on Twitter at @frisbee_rich.
And I'm at @a24brett and @touchline_tbs.
Always, you can check out what's going on at tornbysports.com. Really appreciate you guys always listening. And talk to you later. Peace out, yo.